with everybody. It's good to be with the Lord tonight. It's good to be with you folks here at Ronda Tabernacle. We do appreciate from the bottom of my heart this opportunity to be here. We're glad we're here. We've looked forward to this and hope and pray that you've been in prayer for the service tonight. It's not about Roundhill or Matthew or Ronda Tabernacle or anybody or whoever. It's just all about Him. And I hope and pray tonight that's why you're here. I hope and pray that's why you've came this way. And I hope and pray that you've came seeking a blessing and seeking what God can do for you. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, I want you to know something. It don't mean you're a bad person. Don't mean you're an ugly person. Don't mean you're a mean person. It just means you need Jesus. It means you need to come to the saving power of the Lord. And you know what? He's still in business. And He can do that for you tonight if you need that. You know who you are. You see the church tonight. Don't have two people in it, the lost folk and the saved folk. And so you know who you are. You know which way you're headed. You know what your eternity is. You know what lies in store. So tonight, if you're here and you've never been saved, I would recommend you consider your ways. Consider what's going on in your life. If you leave the house of God tonight, knowing that you're lost and undone without the Lord, and you leave here, you're going to have to step over the blood of Christ. You're going to have to step over the Word of God. And you're going to have to say no to the Lord. And these people today that died in this walk of life and went to hell because they knew not the Lord. That's the Bible. These people that done that. And no doubt tonight they'd love to be where you are. No doubt last night, maybe out having a good time living up with the world. But tonight they'd love to be where you are, having the opportunity you have. But that'll never happen again because they rejected the only hope they could have, and in Jesus, they rejected that. Church, I tell you tonight, I wouldn't do that for nothing. If I was you, I'd get right with the Lord. God is good. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Take your Bibles tonight, if you would, and turn to the fourth book in the New Testament. That's the book of John. We want to be there tonight just for a few moments. We appreciate so dearly you being here tonight. Appreciate everybody. Thank you for being faithful on Sunday night. And we're just looking for God to do something great tonight. I'm nothing. Want you to know that. If anything is said or done good tonight, it won't be because of Matthew. I promise you that. I'm a sinner saved by grace. That's all I is. And I thank God for that tonight. But it's good to be saved. It sure is. And I hope and pray you can say that with me and can know that you know that you know. Amen. Are you glad you're here tonight? Boy, ain't you glad you're not going to hell? Amen. What a blessing. I thank God for that tonight. I wonder before we go any further tonight, if anybody, maybe somebody just got a testimony on their heart. Maybe somebody like to brag on the Lord just any bit. Anybody at all. Amen. Bless your heart. Amen. All right. Bless you. Amen. Bless you. Amen. Anybody got anything good to say about Jesus? Anybody?
I'm glad He saved me, Matthew. I knew who I was and what I was. He still saved me.
Amen. Amen. Yes, He does, brother. Amen. Anybody else?
Preacher, I'm happy to stand tonight and say I love the Lord.
Amen. Yes, amen. 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 That's good. Did you hear what she said? She said He answered a prayer for me this week. I agree. Me too. Amen. Me too. And I thank God for that. Anybody else tonight?
Brother, I'm glad I'm saved tonight. You know, the best is yet to come.
Amen.
I see Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Get on down further. You know it, my name is written in the
Lamb's book. Amen.
That's going to be a wonderful day.
Amen. Amen. Yes, it is. Amen. Amen. All right, book of John chapter number 13. The Bible says this, starting in verse number 1. It says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were not in the world, He loved them until the end. Amen. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God, and went to God, the Bible says He rises from supper, and laid aside His garments, and took a towel, and girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Thank God for His Word tonight. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be saved. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's ask God to help us tonight. You pray for me. You pray for yourself. Lord, help me, open my heart, my eyes, that I can hear the Word of God tonight. Brother Keith, would you pray for us, please?
Our most kind and precious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank You for this beautiful day that You've given us, Lord. We thank You for the services that we've already had today, Lord God. But Lord, we come to You now in prayer, Lord God, asking for Brother Matthew. I pray that You just be with him, dear Lord God, during this service. I pray You give him the words of wisdom that we'll be in need of this hour, Lord God. And Lord God, I pray for each one that's here tonight, Lord God. We all have needs in our lives and our heart. Lord God, I pray if there be one here lost, Lord God. I pray for conviction. I pray if there be one here that's backsliding on You, Lord. I pray for someone that's brought all the close to Lord, I just pray for if there's somebody that needs to come to talk to You, Lord. You know the altar's always open, Lord God, and I pray, Lord, if you come talk to You, Lord. Lord, we love You. We thank You for saving our unworthy soul from a place called hell. We just pray that You'll just be in this church, Lord, and Lord, as it goes forward, Lord God, I pray You just bless it, keep a hedge about it, keep the wiles of the devil out, Lord God. And now, Lord, I pray that You just give our hearts the liberty and freedom and pulpit in this place, and Lord God, once again, Lord, help us to be attentive, to open up our hearts and our minds, and to take it in, Lord God, and to understand what this scripture truly means, Lord, about humility, Lord God. We love You, and we thank You for what You've done, what You're going to do.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Keith, tonight. I want to say tonight as we get started, I'm going to do just a few things here tonight, and you may think I'm crazy, and that's all right. I really am. But your pastor told me just to mind the Lord, so I'm going to mind the Lord. And I'm going to start by doing some remodeling. So me and Adam's going to move his pew right here and as an illustration, and I want to bring something to our attention here in just a few moments. And all right, let's just set this one right here. I'm going to go over here and get this one. I want to say tonight to each and every one of us that's here tonight, if you're anything tonight, if you've ever been saved by the grace of God, God came to where you was one day and He forgave you. And He set your covered your sins, washed them in the blood of Christ. And let's go on over to this other. And without the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, you'd have been likewise lost for eternity. You never would make it to heaven without Jesus. If you've been saved tonight, God came to you one day and He forgave you. And He touched your heart and showed you was lost and undone. And you came to Him. If you got saved, that's how it happened. You didn't get saved by joining the church or being baptized into Crete. You got saved by the blood of Jesus. So if that's you tonight, and you've been saved tonight, you can lift your hand in praise and say, thank You, Lord, for saving a wretch like me, because I was so undeserving. But yet, God came by my way. You say, preacher, why in the world have you moved these two pews tonight? Well, I want to show you a little something. I want to ask Brother Kevin, I want you to set up here tonight, if you would. I want to show you something tonight. Brother Kevin is not pastoring right now, but he is a pastor. He used to pastor there at Double Creek, and he's not pastoring. I don't guess he is at the moment, unless I... All right. So Brother Kevin's going to come up here tonight, and he's going to sit here tonight as a man of God, as a pastor, as a preacher, as an evangelist, as somebody that's been called out of darkness, been forgiven of their sins, and yet been saved by the grace of God. I thank God for Brother Kevin. Thank God for his ministry. And I do ask you to pray for him. Lord, continue to use him and bless him and help him and just encourage him. And most of all, give him souls for his labor. Amen. Wouldn't that be a blessing? That's honey on a biscuit. See somebody Amen. Saved, didn't it? Amen. Well, that's a blessing. Brother Donnie, if you could, I want you to take a seat up here front and center tonight. And I'm calling on the people I know I can pick on. And they're big boys and they can handle it and they can take it. So I appreciate them and what they're doing. And so I'm calling Brother Donnie up here tonight. Now I'm going to tell you something about Brother Donnie as he comes. I'm going to talk about him just for a moment there. And I called Brother Donnie he's represented as a deacon. He's a deacon at Round Hill Baptist Church. And let me say this, just because his name is beside of the title of Round Hill Baptist Church, he's a member of there. He's a brother in Christ is who he is. It doesn't matter what church you're from tonight, he is a brother in Christ. And I appreciate Brother Donnie just being in the house of the Lord tonight and being faithful to God and being faithful as there at our church. And not only as a deacon, but also as a Sunday school teacher and a choir leader and just being a great example to whosoever. We appreciate him. Appreciate Brother Kevin. And then tonight, I've got the pastor's representative. I've got the deacons represented. I'd love to have the Sunday school teachers represented. Brother Richard, if you come on up here and sit with us tonight. Brother Richard is also out of our church. And Brother Richard is a deacon also, and he is a Sunday school teacher. But tonight he's representing just a man of God that's a Sunday school teacher. Appreciate the influence and appreciate what he's done. Appreciate the work he's doing for the Lord. And I tell you, Brother Richard, he's either Uncle Richard or Brother Richard, or he's just Richard. He's special. Richard has more pull at the church at Round Hill than the pastor does. I appreciate Brother Richard and the life that he's lived in front of us. Thank God for him and the respect. Listen to this, that he has earned.
Amen.
I thank God for that. Then I'm going to go back to Rhonda Tabernacle. Here's who I want. I want a man that loves Jesus. Somebody that was in their sins, lost and undone, on their way to hell. God stepped in the way and saved them and set them on the straight and narrow. Just somebody, you may not have a position, a title, or whoever, but God knows your name. All right, brother, you come take a seat. I appreciate that and appreciate him coming with us tonight. I don't know if he holds do you hold any sort of titles? He's a deacon of the church, Sunday school teacher. All right, lives in Roan River too. I know that much about him. I appreciate him and him being with us tonight. And so I've got four men sitting up here. And as the audience, look at these four men. We started looking at Brother Kevin. And we look at Brother Kevin as the pastor figure. We look at him as the evangelist. Look at him as the man of God. And the calling that God placed on his life was miserable. For that amount of time that he ran from the service of the Lord, howbeit it may be a month or 10 years, I don't know, but I bet you wouldn't do it again. Because it was a miserable time. I appreciate the calling that God has laid on his life. I appreciate the calling that the deacon, that God put in the deacon. You say, well, God calls a deacon a different way, or God treats a deacon a different way. Well, you're exactly right. You say, well, God doesn't call a deacon. Well, let me tell you something. If the deacon board is men of God they ought to be, they're going to be seeking out from God, and God's going to lay it on their heart. And so I look at it like this. God tells the deacon board who to get, and God places a calling in a man's life to be that servant he should be. Amen.
Amen.
I appreciate the deacon board. I appreciate. Then we look down here at our Sunday school teachers. I appreciate God blessing a Sunday school teacher. I tell you, I don't want a Sunday school teacher that's going to cram on Sunday morning for 5 minutes and give it a lick and a promise and call it done. I want somebody that's going to read and study and pray over the Word of God. Somebody that's going to get to business with the Lord. I appreciate that. Then we got this brother. Remind me of your name. Aldine.
Owning.
I appreciate him tonight. Appreciate what the Lord's done for him. And you notice I said I want somebody that knew they was lost and undone on their way to hell, and God forgave. And I appreciate him. Didn't know at the time that he was a deacon here at the church. I appreciate that. Appreciate the Lord blessing him. So I've got four groups of people represented. And tonight, regardless if they hold the title or position of pastor, deacon, Sunday school teacher, or just plain church member, every one of them has got something in common. Men, as God saved you and as he placed a light in you and placed a earnest in you called the Holy Spirit of God, that's your lead, that's your guide, that's your direction. As he done that, he didn't lift you out here to let you be driftless as a boat in high water, but yet he leads you out here in this walk of life to be a director, to be a light, to be an encouragement, to let your light shine. He left you here for a reason, because if the only thing the Lord was interested in is saving us, then when the Lord saved us, poof, you'd have went on to heaven and that'd have been the end of it. But God left us here for a reason. Every one of you has got a fishing pole in your hand. Whether you realize it or not, you're a fisher of men, and that's what God left them to do. So let me say this, regardless if the title says pastor, deacon, Sunday school teacher, or church member, every one of them is a servant.
Amen.
Me growing up as a young lad, even now, I respect these men. You should respect these men. But as growing up as a young lad, I looked at them as leaders. And you should, youngins, respect them as leaders. But adults, did you know, to be a good leader, the first requirement to be a good leader is to be a good what?
Servant.
Servant. Be a good servant. I want you to men just to sit there tonight, and I want y'all to focus on them and listen to the Word of God tonight. We live in a day, you and I live in a day, that we are continually blessed by God. We're continually blessed by the Lord. Daily, God loadeth us with His blessings. Daily, God takes care of us. Daily, God does something for us that you and I cannot do every day. Or let me say this, there's never been a day that God has not listened, has not reached His hand down and done something for you. Every day you live, God has blessed you. God has took care of you. you. God has cared for you. God has loved you. He's looked after you. He's protected you. He has shielded you. Hey, he kept you out of trouble. You ought to have been in trouble. God has always been faithful to you as His people. God's never let you down. Oh, all to Him we owe tonight, because God has always been there for me. God has always been there for you. It doesn't matter what tomorrow says. God's wrote the book on tomorrow. Amen. God has always been faithful unto you every day of your life. God's been faithful. So much He's been faithful. So much God has been faithful that I wonder, do we recognize how much God does? Do we recognize what all God's done for us? Do we recognize what all God is doing for us? Do we recognize what God is doing for us as we assemble in our church? Do we recognize at Round Hill Church, at Rhonda Tabernacle Church, do we recognize where God's brought us from? Do we recognize that the devil could come right in here and bust her wide open and this be nothing but a social gathering of the world that lets the world in, let's do any old thing but it coming and going? Do we recognize if it wasn't for the hand of God, that's exactly what would happen to our church tonight? Do we recognize that? Do we recognize how much we need God? I wonder, do we recognize how much God loves His people? Do we recognize how much God does for me? How much God does for you? Boy, it's easy to look at the pastor and say, boy, God's really doing something for him. Why don't you look yourself in the mirror and say, boy, God's really doing something for that young, and God's really Amen. Blessing me. Yeah. Every one of us. I wonder, tonight is just a church member. All of us are just church members tonight, except these four. I wonder tonight as a church member, how much our eyes are focused on me. I'm not talking about the one up here tonight. I'm talking about you. I wonder as a church member how much our eyes are focused on us. And focused on us so much that maybe our eyes never focus on Him. Or maybe we neglect or forget. Or maybe just occasionally will we let our eyes focus on, hey, it's church time, 10 o'clock, all right. Put away the games and gadgets of the world. It's time to play Jesus for about 2 hours. We'll do it again on Wednesday night. I wonder how little sometimes we let ourselves focus on God. Who He is. If we ain't careful tonight, you and I will get in front of ourselves. And we'll get in front of God and what God wants to do in our life if we ain't careful. I want to say tonight, I believe the authority of me standing here tonight, I believe there's a lot of people in that shape. A lot of churches in that shape that's got in front of themselves. And you know what? They thinking, they may not realize it, but they think they're God. They think they can take care of their life. They think they can quit sinning when they want to. They think they can turn over a new leaf when they want to. And yet can come in the house of the Lord and God will give them a high five at the pearly gates and everything will be all right. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you must be born again. To be born again, that talks about a repentance. It talks about a bloodshed. It talks about coming to God as you are and realizing you're nothing, lost and undone on your way to hell. You must be born again. It's a new life. It's a new change. It ain't a new leaf. It ain't quitting something bad. It ain't starting something good. It's trusting fully in Jesus. Hey, it's getting behind yourself and realizing I'm nothing outside the shed blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I wonder how many people today just kind of get ahead of themselves. We've just heard a story about Jesus in the book of John, chapter number 13. And we know the story about Jesus is having the Last Supper. This story tells us about what Jesus knew. Listen to verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God, the Bible says, and He went to God. You see, Jesus knew that His time on earth was limited. Jesus knew from the very time He started His ministry that God had a reason for Him. Jesus knew that He wouldn't put here on this earth to walk on the physical dirt for eternity. He knew that His work was for a season. He knew that He had a job to do. He knew He must be about the Father's business. He knew that He had to love people. He knew He had to help people. He knew He had to serve God in His sincerity. And you know what? He also knew what the end would be like. He knew that He would have to suffer. He knew that He would have to die. He knew that there would be people that ridicule Him and be against Him. But yet, listen, He knew that God was in control. Jesus knew all that. So while He's having this last supper with His disciples, and He's here talking to them, and He knew that He was going to be... Listen, Jesus is talking to them. He has taken the bread, and He has told them that it represents His body.
and what his body was about. He has taken the cup, and he's talked about the cup, and he's told them how the cup, it represents his blood. Boy, I'm glad of that tonight. He's talked about that cup, how it represented his blood and what his blood was going to have to do. He knew that he was getting ready to be, listen, to have people turn his back on him. He knew that his own followers there was not going to stand for him. He knew that Peter would deny it. He knew that Judas Iscariot, he knew that devil was going to enter in his heart. He knew exactly what was coming. He knew that he was going to be betrayed. He knew he was going to be arrested. He knew he was going to be wrongly accused. He knew he was going to be, listen, placed on a cross at Calvary. Not only that, he knew that there was going to be spikes drove through his head and drove through his feet. He knew that was coming. But yet it didn't stop him from serving the Lord. It didn't stop him from serving the Lord. Now, Brother Kevin, I want to ask you tonight, if when you was running from a call to preach, there got to a point in time. Listen, God never sent Kevin a certified letter that said, "Kevin, I've called you to preach. Sign here and we're in business." That never happened. There came a time of trial and prayer and fasting and dedication and troubles and trials, sleepless nights, on end. I mean, just probably sick and tore up and worried and beside yourself. And no matter how much Kevin tried, he never got 100% sure. He said, "What do you mean by that?" Because that last percentage, however much it might have been, had to be faith.
Amen.
Had to be faith that God was going to use him as a man of God.
Amen.
God was going to use him as a... God never called anybody to put him on the sidelines. And if you're on the sidelines tonight, you need to get in touch with the captain and say, "Lord, what have I done wrong? Put me in the game. Amen. I want to do something for the Lord." As much as Kevin knew that, if God would have come to him and said, "Kevin, I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to pastor. I want you to be an evangelist. I want you to visit the city. I want you to do all these things." Then Kevin, at the end of the day, here's what's going to happen. They're going to hate you. They're going to spit in your face. They're going to ridicule you. And finally, you're going to have two pieces of wood, and they're going to stretch your arms out, and they're going to drive spikes through your hands and your feet, and you're going to hang there and die a horrible death. Kevin, being a good old human being like the rest of us, he'd have probably said, "Whoa, not me." He ain't superhuman, I ain't either. We'd have probably got out of the ball game and probably went somewhere over a corner and hunkered down and loved the Lord in silence the rest of our life. Because we was too afraid of what serving God might do.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you're afraid of serving God, there's people dying lost going to hell.
Amen.
And you ought to be concerned.
That's right.
Amen. You ought to be concerned. Jesus knew all these things was going to take place. And Jesus knew this was his future. The disciples have sat there. Now here's my disciples tonight. These are my disciples. That's why I've got them here. And I'm not Jesus, but I'm going to play his part for a minute. I'm far from it. I'm less than Paul was, but these are my disciples tonight. You know what I've done? I've broke bread to these boys. I told them about my body. I took and I gave them the cup, and I told them about my blood, and it shed for many for the remission of sins. I've told them that listen, God gave me to be a sacrifice. And it's not about me. It's all about Him. I just want you to look to God.
Amen.
I just want you to look
Amen.
To God. And Jesus has told them all about that. I wonder, as Jesus went through all that story, what was on these fellows' minds. Now, they're sitting there having a meal. If I'd have had a table, we'd have one tonight. They're at a meal, and there's more than four of them. But as they're at this meal, Jesus has told them this awesome story of sacrifice and what's coming on his life, about the blood and about the body. What would have been on your mind? What would have been on you fellas' mind? Let me ask you this. What's on your mind right now? Well, I wish he'd hurry. Do you ever get sidetracked during preaching?
Bless him. Bless him.
Sure you do. What's on your mind when the Word of God's being proclaimed? What's on your mind when the choir's singing? What's on your mind when somebody's preaching the gospel? What's on the mind when somebody's in the altar prayer? Hey, it ought to be, "Yes, Lord, thank you for saving a wretch like me. Help them, God. Help them, Lord.
Amen.
Bless you, sweet Jesus. Lord, help them. Help them. Help them. And Lord, help me. God, convict me."
Great.
What was on these disciples' mind? While Jesus is going over one of the greatest moments in history, what's on these fellows' minds? The Bible tells us that in the book of Luke, let me read that to you. In the book of Luke, in chapter number 22, Jesus has had the Last Supper in verses number 7 through 22. He's had the Last Supper with his men. He's told them the same story. This is Luke's account. The Bible's not contradictory. This is the word from Luke. Luke's told the same story. Jesus gives them all the message about what's going to happen. Tells them about the sacrifice. Tells them, I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you at home and Jesus was sitting in your living room, I'm going to tell you something. You get excited about the sacrifice that happened for you. Amen. You get excited about somebody that wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hey, if Jesus was sitting in your living room, hey, you wouldn't watch the same things you watch. You wouldn't drink the same things you drink. You wouldn't go to the same places you would go to. You wouldn't talk the same way you talk. Hey, you stand up and give attention and say, as for me in my house, we'll serve the Lord. Hey, he might not do that tonight in physical. Hey, but in spirit, he is there. He's nowhere absent. What are you thinking about Jesus? Jesus talks to these men here in the book of Luke. He tells them about this Last Supper. He shares it with them. And Jesus also tells them that there's somebody that's going to betray me. And they get to wondering, who is it? Look what's on these disciples' mind, verse 23. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was which should do this thing. And there was also a... Now listen, they're sitting in the midst of... What would be on your mind if you were sitting in the midst of Jesus? What would be on your mind tonight if Jesus was sitting right here on the... I mean, and now I'm not Jesus, but if Jesus was sitting right here, fellas, and he was talking to y'all, I believe he'd have your attention.
Amen.
I believe you'd be crying. I believe you'd be humble. I believe you'd be a little upset. Hey, you might, you just wait. You used to be thinking, Jesus, if you get done talking, I'd bow at your feet. I'd love on you a little bit. I believe you'd just be so excited. Hey, you'd come out of your shoes. You'd be so excited that Jesus was in your midst.
Amen.
Jesus is talking to these men. And look what happens to their mind. And there was also a strife among them. Which of them should be counted the greatest? Jesus wasn't in that account. Those disciples begin to think to themselves, boys, wonder which one of us is going to be the greatest when we get to heaven. One of them sitting there saying, well, I'm going to tell you this, it's bound to be me. Now let me get all modern day Baptist on. It's bound to be me. Why, I can catch more fish. I'm a fisherman. I can catch more fish than anybody can. I know the honey holes. I know what the bait looks like, how it smells like. I can do it with my eyes closed. Jesus is bound to pick me. Here sat Matthew over there and said, you're crazy. He said, I want you to know something. Jesus couldn't make it without me. I'll be the greatest. I'm the tax collector. I can get blood out of a turnip. I know he'll take me. Rest of them pop up. No, wait a minute. You forgot about what I've done for Jesus. He's bound to take me. I'll be the greatest. I'll get the front row and sit. I'll be the one that runs the headlines in heaven. Premiering tonight, Deacon Donnie in heaven. He's bound to pick me. Premiering tonight. Speaking tonight. Ain't no preaching in heaven, by the way.
Amen.
Speaking tonight. Kevin Blevins. He's bound to pick me. All of them concerned. Jesus is talking about his body. He's talking about his blood. He's talking about his life. And he's talking about his death. And you know what them sorry no good church members is doing? Worried who'd be the greatest. Worried who'd be the greatest. I have to say woe is me on that one. Sometimes I get in front of me. Sometimes I look in the mirror and pat myself on the back and say good job. You know what? So the devil. They ain't nothing good about us. Outside of God and what God's done for us, they ain't none of, we deserve hell with a broke back. I want you to know something. Jesus is giving their account of the Last Supper, telling them what was going to happen. I want to tell you something tonight. There's nothing good about any one of us tonight in this house of God, outside of God. Outside of what Jesus has done for you, there's nothing good. I'm going to tell you something, disciples. Y'all can sit around and talk about who's going to be the... I'm picking on you, but I love you. You can talk about who's going to be the greatest. But if it weren't for what Jesus has done in y'all's life, you'd be in the low-down, rotten scum of the earth. You'd be just like the rich man. You'd be burning in hell. They'd be no good for you. You'd have no future. You'd have no hope. Hey, it ain't about who's the greatest. It's about the one that the only one that's ever been great. And his name's Jesus. Hey, it's not about me. Get your eyes off of us tonight. And it's looking to him.
Right.
They're over here talking about who's going to be the greatest. And you know what? Jesus has got a message for them. And this is my message tonight. You know what Jesus wants them to know, men? It's time to take a towel.
Right.
It's time to take a towel. And I had some real ones, but tonight I got these. If I had one for everybody tonight in the house of the Lord, I'd give you one. And I'm going to give you this towel tonight and as an illustration. And I want you to notice where the rest of them are. Jesus is sitting. And you know what's so bad about this? He can hear what they're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
He just talked about he's going to die.
Yeah.
And they're over here talking about the ball game.
Oh, yeah.
He's trying to sing in the choir. And they're talking about Facebook.
Yeah, you're right.
Why is it so quiet? He's talking about what's going to happen. Jesus is talking about, I've been redeemed, I am redeemed. Holy, holy. Listen, and we're more concerned about who's going to the festival. Jesus has showed up, and hey, we're talking about Bible school. We're trying to get things organized. We're praying for revival, but we're more concerned. What kind of candy you got for me tonight? Concerned about themselves. Jesus is talking. He's going to die, and he hears them talking. I would expect he would have listened to Kevin, and Kevin said, oh, Brother Donnie, he's going to die. What in the world are we going to do? I tell you what McDonald says, I tell you what we're going to do, Brother Kevin. Hey, we're going to get on our knees and we're going to seek God. We're going to strive a little harder. I'm going to listen, we're going to work a little harder because our example has told us the right way to go. Our example has told us what to do and what not to do. Hey, we've got the greatest example ever lived. We know what to do, just follow it. And Brother Richard says, hey, we're going to teach this class. We're going to teach this Sunday school with the respect of God. And we're going to teach the love of God. I'm not going to give up. And the church member says, hey, I'm going to be faithful to the house of God. I'm going to be doing exactly what God would have me to do. I appreciate my Lord and my Savior, what He's done for me. I'll not turn my back on Him now.
Right.
You think that's what Jesus would have heard? But instead, He heard this. Donnie, I'll be ahead of you. I have won more souls than you have. I'll be first place. Captain, Team Jesus. That's me.
Preach it.
That's what Jesus heard.
You're exactly right.
That's what he heard. Let's look what Jesus does. If Jesus would have been Matthew, he'd have overthrew that table. You tell somebody what they're going to do for them that amounts to dying for them, and they're more concerned about how great they are. The song is how great he is, not us.
That's right.
Amen. Look what Jesus does. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter number 13, Jesus knowing. He knew all these things, that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God. Look what He done. There's three things He does here in verse 4. And I want to preach a message tonight on it's time to take a towel. The Bible says He rises from supper. These disciples standing around talking about who's going to be the greatest. Talking about who was going to be first place. Talking about who the Lord loved more. Jesus stood up. You know what He done? While His disciples was there talking, and I can just imagine Jesus sitting there and His disciples talking about the greatest. And I just think in my own mind, this ain't in the Word of God, but I think in my own mind tonight, He may have just sit there and start looking at them. Boy, I look, when my youngins do something and I just don't understand, I just have to look at them for a minute. And I just can't help but think that Jesus might have just stopped there for a second and just kind of looked at him. If he'd have been me, he'd have thought, boy, you're crazy. I don't know what the Lord's thoughts were, but listen, when they were still yet sitting down talking about who was greatest, you know what Jesus done? He rises up from supper.
Yeah, right.
Jesus got up from where he was. Listen, one of the hardest places for you and I to get up from is a place of self-indulgence. You say, what is that? That was a place of supper. That's a supper table. Let me tell you why it's so hard to get up from the supper table, because that's one of our favorite places. I'm not talking about eating food tonight. I'm talking about this. The local Christian tonight, when we sit down, and listen, we're sat down, and listen, this day, listen, if you want to know the truth about it, we don't climb a hard climb. We ain't got big mountains. Hey, we're pretty blessed, amen. I know you got trials and troubles, but hey, we don't live like Jesus had to live. We don't live like Him disciple boys had to live. Hey, you are spoiled tonight by the hand of God. God has blessed us tonight. But I want to tell you something. Every child of God tonight in the house of God, when you get to sit down, God has blessed you and blessed you and blessed you. Hey, that's the supper table. You see, every day along your life, He daily loadeth us with blessings, the Bible says. Hey, and we sit down and we've got fat on the Lord, and God has blessed us and blessed us until we almost think that we deserve it. Or until we think that we've earned it. And it's hard to get up. It's hard to get up. You say, preacher, I like sitting around enjoying the blessings of God. That's the point of the message. We've got to quit sitting around. But see, when we're at a place of self-indulgence, that's one of the hardest places to get up. Because when you're self-indulgent, Donnie, what are you doing? You're partaking. Yeah. You're bringing in. If you self-indulge at the Krispy Kreme, you don't want to get up. If you self-indulge at the ice cream parlor, the soft kind, you know, you don't want to get up. If you self-indulge where it's good, hey, I'll just sit here a while. It's going to be all right. I'm so blessed, I'll just sit here a while. But that's the problem that we've got to in our local churches. We've got so self-indulged on self. On self. Jesus knows what's going on. The Bible says Jesus rises up from supper. I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you and I as a child of God, if we're ever going to take a towel tonight, I'm going to tell you something that's going to happen. You and I is going to have to decide to get off our padded pew. Amen. We're going to have to decide to get off our blessed assurance. We live in a drive-through, fast-paced, hot now, have it now, snap of your finger society. Our lifestyle is that way. And we have forgotten that serving God, listen, can't happen second place to our self-indulgence. But our self-indulgence is going to have to let us rise up. Hey, God has blessed you so much. We've been at the table of plenty for so long, we forgot that He's the one cooking. He's the one blessing. The Bible says Jesus rises up from supper. If we're going to take a towel tonight, any of us, we're going to have to rise up from self-indulgence. If there's any place I like staying, it's the supper table. If there's any place you like staying, I mean, there's some things so good I hate for it to run out. I'm going to tell this tonight, and my wife didn't know I was a studying while we was eating lunch today. But we eat lunch at the Dairy Queen, Dobson. And she's ate what she had to eat. And she had one of these little ice cream things about that tall. And she's sitting there under the spoon. And all she does, I think she's dug a hole in the bottom of the plastic. I said, honey, I'll get you another one. And she says, I just want to make sure I get it all. Go ahead and light it, but you the same way.
Amen.
You, listen, all of us are the same way. I thought to myself, yeah, that goes with my message. We want to make sure we get all of God's blessings that's at our table of plenty while we self-indulge.
Amen.
The Bible says that Jesus rises from supper. How many is going to rise up from where they're at and take a towel? The Bible says He rose up from supper, the Bible says, and He laid aside His garments. He laid aside His garments. I want you to see something tonight. The modern day Christian has got consumed and overwhelmed in the presentation of themselves. And if everything ain't hunky-dory and pleasant to the eyes, we dismiss it as a correct servant. If I'd have came in here tonight wearing, eating locusts and wild honey and wearing camel's hair, most folks wouldn't have sat with me. Some wouldn't have shook my hand. Worldwide, this ain't a stab at nobody. Most Christian folks wouldn't have sat with me. They wouldn't have sat near me. They wouldn't have shook my hand. And if Josh had let me in the pulpit, Josh would have been voted out on Wednesday. That's why people didn't like Paul's preaching. He came with what he had. And he gave what God had given him. Amen. And that was the Word of God. You know what Paul did? I tell you what he did. He laid aside his garments. You know why a lot of people won't take a towel? Because they're afraid to lay aside their prideful garments. They're afraid to lay aside who it is that they've become. They're afraid to lay aside the status quo. They're afraid to lay aside their recognition. They're afraid to lay aside whom they are. Somebody might see me cry. Somebody might see me testify. Somebody might see my makeup run. Lord, help if I don't get my position in the house of the Lord. If somebody gets my seat. Lord help what a time it's going to be. Somebody might see me get plumb Baptist on the Lord if I was to rise up from supper. Listen, lay aside my garment. There are things daily that weigh you down and will slow you and hinder you from taking a towel when it comes time to serve God. Every one of us in our life. The Bible says He laid aside His garments. Why would Jesus lay aside His garments? Jesus didn't want not one thing hindering the show of affection and the show of love and the servanthood and the blessings He wanted to give to His children. He didn't want not one thing hindering. Me and I wonder in your service, disciples, can we name more than one thing that's hindered us in our service for God? Can we name more than one thing that slows down our prayer life? when we know we need to pray morning, noon, and night. How many things suck the life out of us when we should be praying? We should be testifying. We should be singing. We should be glorifying God. But you know what? Why does the Bible say lay aside the weight and the sin that so what?
Easily.
Easily. Satan doesn't have too hard of a time sometime hindering these disciples. Woe is me. Ouch, preacher. Satan doesn't have too hard of a time sometime hindering this preacher. Sometimes you don't have too hard of a time. Listen, putting on heavy garments on me. That's right. You know what? When you're at work and you got too many clothes on, it's hard to function. It's hard to get your mojo. It's hard to move. Hey, it's hard to work. It's just like serving God. Satan puts so much on us. It puts so much on us. It puts so much on us. I tell you why we won't honor that scripture. Because in our Christian walk of life, oh, I ain't going to lay aside sin. I got that covered by the blood. I'm walking above sin. I'm living the easy street. I'm like a Jefferson's moving on up. Everything's all right in my life. Hey, it's going to be good. But the Bible says lay aside every weight.
Yeah, you're right, preacher.
Satan has such an easy time sometimes hindering us from laying aside our garments. And we've got every excuse not to serve God. Preach. With sincerity and in truth. With the reverence for Him. Knowing, just knowing. Kevin, you may preach for... How long have you been preaching? A long time, he said. 16.
20,
somewhat. Long, yeah. Donnie's been a deacon. Richard's been a teacher. Brother's been a faithful church member. All along the way. You may serve, you may preach, you may teach, you may be a deacon, you may be faithful, play the guitar in the choir. Wonderful. You may do all those things and never see nobody come to the Lord. When Satan sees you lay aside your garment, hey, listen, if you don't see an effect today, if you don't see somebody come up and hug your neck, if somebody don't come up and applaud you, Satan's going to say, well, I wish you just quit.
Mm-hmm.
There ain't no sense in you serving the Lord. Just lay down, lay aside your towel. Boy, he wants to get it. And he said, let me have this. Let me have this towel service you've got.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody applauded you. You ain't seen nobody saved in 3 or 4 weeks. Ain't no 3 or 4 years. Nothing's happened good. Your Sunday school class ain't listening no more. Just quit. Just quit. Just quit. Just quit. You know what Satan's doing? He's putting a heavier garment on you to hinder you and stop you. Jesus laid aside his garments so he could serve.
You're right.
He laid it aside.
Preach it.
So he could serve. These boys talking about who's going to be the greatest. And Jesus thinking in his heart, nothing can hinder me. I'm getting ready to pay the ultimate sacrifice. And beyond anything, I want to show them the love of God. I can't let nothing hinder me at this moment in time. Because these are precious souls. Boy, I'll tell you tonight, if we could see that these people die lost and going to hell, if we could realize tonight, you and I need the same thought process tonight, we can't let nothing hinder us from somebody, a friend, a neighbor, a loved one, a spouse, a child. Listen, you ought not let nothing hinder you tonight from going to them and telling them, hey, let me tell you about my friend Jesus. Let me tell you what Calvary done for me. Let me tell you about what the cross at Calvary meant. Hey, let me tell you what the blood does in your life. I just want to tell you, don't let nothing hinder you tonight. Lay aside your garments.
Yeah.
The Bible said that Jesus rises up from supper, laid aside his garments, and then he said he took a towel. Jesus. Now how many of us, I'm glad Jesus don't have my mind. Because in my mind, I'd have told these low down, no good, sorry, rotten disciples of mine, I thought you loved me. Get out of here. I've cooked for you. I just told you about my body and my blood. And you're concerned about who's going to be the greatest? I'm glad Jesus don't think like me.
Amen.
And you know what? We all fit right here. Every day. Every day. Jesus took a towel, the Bible says. He took a towel. And he girded himself. As he was putting that towel on, there ain't no doubt in my mind. He might have been, as he was putting that towel on, there ain't doubt in my mind, he might have been thinking to himself, I know he's a great fisherman, and I love him, and I know he loves me. I know he's come short, but Father, I love him. I love him. I know he's my servant, and Father, he's come short, and Father, he's worried about who's going to be the greatest, but Father, forgive him. I love Him, God. He's a great person. He can do great things for you. Father, just continually forgive Him. I wonder sometimes when Jesus says Jesus went a little farther, I wonder if that was because of Matthew. I wonder if it was because of me. I wonder if it was because I would neglect to rise up for my self-indulgence. And I wonder if it was because I would neglect to lay aside my garments. Jesus is girding Himself. He knows all. He knows the thoughts on these boys' hearts. He also knew that Judas was there. You know what He done? He wanted to show them before He died, without a shadow of a doubt, I love you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to die for you. I'm going to help you.
Amen.
I'm going to forgive you. I'm not going to hold it against you for your wrong.
Bless Him.
These were disciples. This ain't somebody He got off the street. This wasn't an apple picker somewhere down the road. These were disciples. And yet they still failed.
Yes.
He knew He would be betrayed. He knew that Peter would be warming his hands by the fire with the enemy. You say, I can't believe Peter. Where was the rest of them? They betrayed Him also.
You're right.
They betrayed Him also. But Jesus says, you know what, Father? I love these men. I love them. I love them. And Father, I want to do everything I can do to show them my hospitality of love. Now, we all know the tradition of foot washing. We know why it was there, why it was created. We know that He done it to show humility. We know it was done to passersby, to visitors, because the feet being the dirtiest thing of the body. That was tradition. Go back in the Mosaic Law, you'll see it. We know all that. But listen, Jesus done it for one reason. Love.
That's right.
You know what Jesus decided to do that day? Take a towel.
Yes.
He's fixing to die for humanity. History. The greatest event in history is getting ready to take place. Hey, God's getting ready to do a great thing that would give you and I access into heaven. And Jesus decides, it's time to be a servant.
That's right.
I'm going to take a towel. The Pope comes riding in a funny bubble, and they protect him and armed guards, and he's got bulletproof sunglasses on or whatever it is he wears, and he's just well protected. Oh, got to have the Pope. Not Jesus. I'll just take a donkey.
That's right.
Just give me a towel. I'm going to go to the dirtiest part of their feet. But notice this. He stepped down. He began to wash these disciples' feet. I wonder then if they was worried about who was the greatest. I know if it had been me, I could have limboed under an end. I'd have been so low. Think about how they felt. When Jesus stooped down, I don't know the conversation that he might have been saying to him, but it might have been something like, fellas, I know y'all have done a great work. But if you'd look unto God, the author and finisher of your faith, if you'd realize who it is that's called you out of the miry clay, if you'd realize who it is that's loved you, who it is that's blessed you, then fellas, listen, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about God and what God's done for us. Fellas, listen, it's not about who's the greatest. There ain't but one. He's seated at the Father. Amen. He's seated on the throne tonight. And why don't you just look unto Him? He washed their feet. And this is what gets me. Lady, who's got on the nicest dress out here tonight? Who's got on the nicest dress? Can I come wipe my feet on your dress? How many black eyes would you give me? You'd black the eye on my driver's license if I wiped my feet on your dress. Ain't doubt my mind. Jesus took the very towel He was girded with. You know what He done? To the boys that was worried about who'd be the greatest, He wiped their feet. The Bible says He began to wipe their feet with the towel wherewith He was girded. That means the very, when He took off His garment, the flesh, put on His garment of service, He stepped down to wash. They didn't have on Under Armour. They didn't have on clean socks. Nobody took a shower. The dirtiest, nastiest part of humanity, He stooped down to wipe it. Wherewith the towel He was girded. Because you know what Jesus knew? He knew it was time to take a towel. It's not about me. It's not about anybody else. But if I can serve them, and if I can go to a cross at Calvary, and if I can die, it'll point them to God. And that's all I care about. It'll point them to God. And that's why I take a towel. I'm glad tonight that Jesus took a towel for me. He took upon himself of no reputation, was made a little lower than the angels, and gave his life so I wouldn't have to die and go to hell. I want to tell you something tonight. You may be living in this walk of life, and you may have great thoughts of yourself, and you may have great thoughts of the church, and you may have great thoughts of who God is, and you may have great thoughts of your profession. You may have great thoughts of what you've done in your life. Unless the blood has been applied to your life, you've been born again, there's been a change, God has graciously saved your soul. If that's not happened, you will die and go to a place called hell. If for eternity, listen, you will spend your time in a place called hell. One day that you'll be delivered up to stand in judgment in front of God. God will cast you forever and ever, listen, into a lake of fire and brimstone, and forever you'll be there in torment, day and night, forever and ever, never to be released. Because you rejected Jesus Christ. Jesus is not a game. Jesus is not a suggestion. Jesus is not a religion. Jesus is not a cult. Jesus is not a good ideal. He's not something you ought to try. He is the way. He is the truth. And He is the life. Amen. And if you enter in, you must go through Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I wonder how many servants tonight, did you notice what this is? I would say, brother, wouldn't you, that there's probably a towel for everybody.
Amen.
I would say if we started pulling off towels, you'd find that there's one for you. I'd say there's one for you tomorrow at your workplace, at your schoolhouse, at your wherever it is you are. There's probably a towel for you. You know what? If I looked real close, I probably got a whole drawer of towels at home that ain't being used. Mm-hmm. Spiritually.
Yep.
That ain't being used. Because I'm going to be honest with you, it's a whole lot easier in your fleshly walk of life to come sit with these fellas and talk about how great we are than it is to take on the form of a servant. A whole lot easier in this robe of flesh to live for the world and do things of the world. It's a whole lot easier as a Christian just to blend in and not stand out. It's a whole lot easier just to slide under the rug. It's a whole lot easier to serve God on Sunday morning and fly by the seat of your britches during the week. It's a whole lot easier just to act like a Christian and play like a Christian and just give God a lick and a promise and tell Him you'll do better later. It's a whole lot easier to serve God that way.
You're right.
How are you going to stand in front of God and tell God you loved Him if you've not loved anybody down here? Amen? It's a whole lot easier to play Christian than it is to actually do the work of a Christian.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen? I mean, it's time to take a towel. Amen? Right. I'd ask you would tonight to stand across the house, heads bowed and eyes closed. Sidney, if you come to the piano, please. As we stand across the house tonight, heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around, please. Ask the pastor if he can come tonight. I don't know the heart and life of anybody here other than myself. But I know this. When the Lord came to these boys and sent them out, He called them apostles. That means one sent. Everybody here tonight has been sent. As a child of God, you've been sent to do the work of the Lord. Whether it be preach, teach, testify, sing, shout, cry, be a prayer warrior, testify to your grandkids, testify to your neighbor at work, whether it be whoever it be, however it be, God has saved you and He has gave you a work, He's gave you a life. And listen, there's no greater position in the world, universe to be known than serving Jesus. But we're not going to do it in self-indulgence. We're not going to do it weighted down. And you're not going to do it if you don't take a towel. If you're not willing to humble yourself in the sight of God and take a towel. I thank God for that tonight. If you're here tonight and this message spoke to you, you've got an opportunity to come to this altar tonight. Whatever your need may be, whatever's on your heart, you've got an opportunity to come to the Lord tonight. I know this roll of paper towels is nothing but a roll of paper towels, but it's symbolic of what needs to be done in your life tonight. It's an illustration of what needs to happen in your life, how you need to surrender to God and take that towel and say, Lord, I'm willing to serve. I'm willing to be a blessing. I'm willing to speak out. I'm willing to stand up. I'm willing to shout. I'm willing to testify. Lord, I'm willing to take my towel and be for You what that I can be. Most importantly tonight, if you're in the house of God tonight and you're lost, you've never been saved. Oh, you've never been saved. I ask you to consider tonight this one thing. If tonight was your last night on the face of this earth and you knew you'd draw your last breath before daylight, would you go to heaven? Would you make it to heaven? Well, are you saved by the grace of God? There's no better time than this present moment, this present time, than to come give your heart and life to the Lord. You say, preacher, I've made profession before. I asked you, was you saved? Is everything all right between you and God?